Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're talking about campus ministry, and in order to talk about doing the kind of clear preaching of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments that take place in campus ministry, we've got to talk about the campus. The campus is that mission field. Is it unique from the rest of the world? Well, not really. What you find there on the campus is what you will find in the rest of the world as well. It's part of the training ground for the real world. But perhaps those worldviews, those temptations there, when you've got a bunch of very young adults all packed into a very small space, perhaps they're more concentrated there on the university campus than they are out in the workaday world. Oh, we will be talking about that workaday world as well, and what that university campus is at least ostensibly supposed to be preparing our young people for a little later in our conversation with Pastor Marcus Zill. Feel free to give us a call during this hour, 1-800-730-2727. If you're getting a busy signal, we'll free up some phone lines here in just a moment as we take your calls right from the top of the hour here on Issues Etc. Now, the best callers during this hour will receive either one of two books, The Defense Never Rests by Craig Parton or How to Stay Christian in College by Dr. J. Budziszewski. Those go to the best callers during this hour, 1-800-730-2727. You can also post your question or your comment on the Issues Etc. forum. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and you'll find the Issues Etc. forum, the address issuesetc.org. Pastor Marcus Zill is pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming. He's a board member for a youth organization known as Higher Things. Pastor Zill, welcome back.
Hey, good to be here.
Let's go right back to the phones. Karen is calling us from Kansas City. Karen, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, I want to talk about my cousin Warren. He was a freshman last fall in college here, in a local college here, and it was co-ed. They had girls as well as guys, but his roommate was a young man, kind of overweight, and it turned out somewhere between 4 to 6 weeks of being in college, his roommate made a pass at him, and he kind of took offense to that at first, but somewhere between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m., he was talking to him and found out that his name was Robert. Robert had had his first homosexual encounter at 16. Never been to church, never heard about the Lord, never knew about the love of Jesus Christ. And my cousin Warren sat and, with a very compassionate and open heart, talked to him about the Lord, read some scripture to him, and explained to him why this was unacceptable, a lifestyle, a choice, and a way to live. And that at first, you know, he told him that how he had taken offense to that. But during a time of talking with him, the Lord just laid it on his heart to have love and compassion for him and to be a friend to him. And within those 4, 5, 6 hours of talking, he actually came to the Lord, accepted Jesus as a Savior, and gave up that type of a lifestyle, because it is very hard for my cousin Warren to have been there the first time from a good, strong Christian home, father being a pastor. He wanted to go to a Christian college, but the Lord laid it on him to just go to the local college, you know, get in there. He could get all of his credits that way, and it was much less expensive for the family, too.
Karen, thank you so much. We appreciate that call. Pastor Zill, it sounds as though here's a good example of a Christian student at the secular university able to engage in genuine Christian witness.
Well, there are plenty of opportunities, and that's actually what's so exciting. As tragic as, you know, we've had a lot of calls about homosexuality here, and I suppose that's on a lot of everybody's minds with the whole Episcopalian events from the last few weeks, but it is an exciting time to be on campus and to be able to confess Christ. And I'm glad that Warren was equipped enough with knowledge and wisdom to be able to share Christ with that individual. Of course, our young people, you know, my primary emphasis is trying to get them in a situation where they can remain connected themselves, and where they do, and they grow in their faith. And for some, for most of them, when they have a chance to really have to get up and go to church on their own, and they're in the midst of all the kinds of things we're talking about, they really grow in their faith. And those situations open up themselves where they can really share it.
Let's talk with Jason, who's calling from Minneapolis. Jason, thank you for waiting, and welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for taking my call, Todd.
Sure.
I just wanted to make sure your listeners were aware that there are options in the Greek system for Lutherans and Christians alike. I went to Iowa State University and went to Beta Sigma Psi. I was a member there. And that house is mostly for, I mean, most members were Missouri City Lutherans. And although that wasn't, you know, it was a part of it, I mean, you could get in the same trouble that all the other fraternities were or could get into, but that was also prevalent that, you know, a lot of the members ushered and taught Sunday school, and, you know, there was Bible studies on a weekly basis. So I just want you to know there are options out there in the Greek system.
Jason, thank you for the call. Now, we talked before, Pastor Zill, about the Greek system, about the fraternities and the sororities, and you had a general word of warning for your students and for the audience against that. What about religious fraternities or sororities? Your take on that?
Well, I'll state up front that I don't have any religious fraternities or sororities here. I know that they exist, and I know that in the past, back in the 60s, there was one that was pretty prevalent in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I don't want to give the impression to your listeners that that every last single fraternity and sorority is automatically bad. There are a lot of non-Greek frats and sororities, ag fraternities, and other similar things, and there's an incredibly wide spectrum. But my best advice, and it's even if it is a Christian fraternity, is that you still don't join it right away. Take time to learn what they're about, what they believe. Ask to see their rituals. Ask to see their vows. And I would assume that even in a Lutheran fraternity, I don't believe that's necessarily a national type thing. At least it's not prevalent in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There may be a few here or there around the country, and that perhaps is one of them that your caller brought up. But I still think it's essential that whenever you're going to use God's name, that you need to know what you're getting into and why. And I also would like to say that there still is no substitute for the church. Young people need church, and I think they realize that when they show up to college. A lot of the things that they thought were dorky or silly or stupid or didn't understand when they're juniors, they show up at college and all these anchors are gone from their life, and they're sitting there thinking, man, I need something that is an anchor, and I need church. And while I'm sure there are some good things that happen at some of these Christian fraternities, I still don't think it's a substitute for me connected to a church. Because after all, one of my goals is to help them get interconnected in another church when they leave my college campus.
1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. George is calling from New Orleans. George, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello. I was wanting to tell you that we have a UNO campus. It's called the University of New Orleans, and there was a missionary that came into this city, started a little small Messianic congregation, and she went over there to try to put something on the bulletin board with all the other groups, you know, the New Age groups and everybody else putting their bulletin on, and they told her that that's separation of church and state, and she has filed a lawsuit with the campus, with this with the J Secular group that's going to file a lawsuit. It's already in the process now.
George, thank you for the call. You mentioned before near the end of our last hour's conversation, Pastor Zill, that generally speaking, the university campus sees it as in their interest of producing the well-rounded student to have all sorts of campus ministries at work, as many as possible, to give the students that broad example. Have you heard of any incidents like this that George
brings
up?
Well, it's not completely surprising. I don't want to make it sound like the university is calling me up saying, hey, what can I do to help you out? And in many cases, Christians are more hard-pressed to be able to have access to certain things. I'm not surprised by that. I do know that you have to go through the proper channels to make sure you're a recognized organization. I mean, we have Wiccans on campus. You have a pagan student organizations. That may be one instance where someone has something particular against that certain group or her personally, or it may just be be real blatant, and they're doing the right thing.
With only a minute here before we take another break, do you fear someday that evangelism, Christian evangelism on the college campus, would be considered a hate crime, so intolerant that it would be called a hate crime?
Well, I've actually never thought of that, but my first thought, now that you mention it, is I could see that happening. That day may well be coming.
Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. We're talking about campus ministry. He is pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, and a board member for a youth organization called Higher Things. When we come back from this break, we'll take more of your phone calls, and a little later in the conversation, we're going to talk about dating, although I sound a little bit like a brontosaurus when I say dating, because I'm given to understand that college students today and the young people aren't dating so much as they are simply going to parties and hooking up. We'll find out the challenges of that. And also, vocation. These kids are there studying to be something or to do something in life. Does the campus ministry offer anything to the Christian student by way of supplementing that? Not just saying, look, we're here just in case you have some trouble and so you can hear the preaching of God's word. Do they help as the Christian student pursues and prepares for their vocation? 1-800-730-2727 is our phone number. We'll be right back.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration. Folks, if you have a question or a comment or a story to share about campus life, call us now. We have freed up a few phone lines, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go back to those phones. Calling from Fredericktown, Missouri, Will, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello, pastors. Thank you for taking my call. I have a take on two things on postmodernism. One is on campus, one is off. My on-campus one would have to be about me and my English literature professor. He actually said we are not going to use the word God in this class. We have to use the word we have to refer to God as the G word. And he also read two different verses from the Bible, and you know they had did nothing to do with each other. But he called the Bible a very flexible book when he said this. Off campus, it was kind of interesting because I was sexually harassed by a woman, and because it was a co-ed dorm, or four actually, and I got reported, and if it would have been a man, I would have had to pay a big old fine.
Will, thank you for the call. He recounts two incidents there. The first being Pastor Zill, an encounter with his English lit professor, not permitted to say the word God in the course.
Well, again, that's not completely surprising. It would be interesting to see how they would respond if they were actually challenged on that. I don't think that any court of law would really hold that up as appropriate. Christianity, Todd, it is... If there is one religion on campus that's going to be less tolerated, it is going to be the Christian faith. There's no doubt about that.
Now, the other thing he talked about, the incident of sexual harassment, where he was sexually harassed in a dorm, it seems as though there's a potential, I'm sorry, a rather potent sexual atmosphere in the college university, both with kind of the high degree of sexual involvement of these young people, but also everyone's kind of wearing this on their sleeves. Is that your common experience?
Well, yeah, you can see it in the way people dress when they come to orientation or they show up their first day of classes. I mean, most young people are sending out signals all over the place.
Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We've had some people write us in the course of our conversation, and they have some questions. The first one goes like this. Our church is a graying church, and I've recently been thinking that we should try to start a college career class and a group. We do have some young people of that age group, few but some, plus high school kids that will soon be that age. How might I go about getting this ministry going or starting one myself?
Well, first of all, you should never feel bad that you only have a few people in that age group. In fact, probably almost every church has a couple of people in that age group. The good news is that you don't have to have many, and the age group today that I see on campus are more than happy to be part of church. They want to be church, and they're not necessarily against seeing those who are graying. In fact, I usually have a couple comments once a year of young people that say, you know, I kind of miss seeing those old graying ladies that are in my home church back home that used to pinch my cheek. And so sometimes we so quickly desegregate ourselves into all these little groups. You got to have, we have to have a campus group, you have to have a youth group, you have to have this group. And, you know, the church is the church. And I think our young people today really understand that, and they want something that's authentic. And the church breaks down those barriers of age. And so I guess my more practical suggestions would be to just take an interest in those young people. Take them out to eat. Spend some time with them. Invite them over for supper. Get them involved in Bible classes at church. If there's enough of them and they want to have something on their own, by all means, try to do so. But just keep in mind that they want to be church and they want to feel included. And I think you can do that regardless of how many you have or what kind of resources you have.
You know, everyone, all the movers and shakers in the church today tell us that this age group, this late high school, college, getting into the early years of their career, this is the age group that if we lose them, they're lost for good. And as you say, in fact, another emailer asks about segregating the church off into various age groups. It sounded as though you're saying we need to pull the congregations together, these age groups together, in hopes of not losing these young people.
Well, absolutely. We have. Oh, I don't know, four or five families of people that are not students here. And the young people love having them around. They want to be church. When I first got here, we had seen the name of our congregation listed about 25 different ways, and we were trying to figure out what the actual name was. There are all these varieties. And one of the things that we looked at is we took a vote among all of the students. What do you like better, the word church or do you like chapel? In terms of a chapel is something kind of subordinate to the church. It's a part of the church. And unanimously to the person, they wanted to be church. And I think they want to be church and all that means. I mean, we have, although we're a full-time campus ministry congregation, there are some students that go to the regular town church. And in many cases, it's precisely because they want to be in that environment. And so I think we sell ourselves short if we think that our young people only want to be around other people that are 18 to 22. That has certainly not been my experience with this age group, and in fact, I think it's the opposite.
Another listener writes, it seems that everyone always thinks that our youth or college students need something different in terms of worship. In the 70s, it was the Chicago Folk Service, and today it would be all the contemporary Christian music, I guess. Do you find this to be true? Why or why not?
Well, I think today's young person, I've said it many times, they're looking, the word I always use to describe them is authenticity. They want to know the truth, and they want to know, are you passionate about it? and they want to see something done well. They don't want to. They don't want gimmicks. They're tired of gimmicks. That's all they get. I mean, you show up on a college campus, and everybody's trying to lure you in with something. Fill this credit card app out and get this free this or that. We're offering free pizza. And as I've said before, pizza's great, but it isn't the gospel. And I believe that our young people are looking for that truth. Lots of times I find out, you know, we're a very liturgical church. We take that very seriously. In fact, I think most of our students would run me out if we did anything else. I think it's a myth that our young people want something different. They want something the same. They want something that is anchored in the history of the church, that it's authentic. And in fact, I think one of our greatest evangelism and tools as the church, when we are ourselves, we're at our best. And that's nowhere more true than it is in the divine service and what we offer in terms of good, solid preaching and the use of the liturgy. In fact, I think a lot of the young people that have come here for the first time that end up coming back do so precisely because they found it refreshing that they weren't trying to, that people weren't trying to give them gimmicks, but were simply giving them Jesus.
We've only got a minute. Do you find it true, Pastor Zill, that this millennial generation tends to have more in common with the World War II generation than they do with their baby boomer parents?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I tell you, Todd, I get excited working with these kids because they get it. They have seen the sins of their baby boomer parents' generation, and they, I believe, are going to be a part of helping to swing the pendulum back to a little bit of sanity.
Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Marcus Zill is pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, and he's a board member for a youth organization called Higher Things. 1-800-730-2727. When we come back, we'll have a little more of your email, and we'll get to the subjects of dating and preparing for that life's vocation. I remember preparing for the vocation. I didn't know what I wanted to do, and there I was, at least I said I was, there preparing for it. We'll be right back. The once proud gospel heritage of American evangelicalism has been lost to cultural compromise and an increasing failure to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In some evangelical churches, Sunday mornings have been reduced to sing-alongs and sanctified self-help. So why are some Lutherans imitating evangelicals? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is called The Defense Never Rests, A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel by Craig Parton. You can order The Defense Never Rests by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can order The Defense Never Rests online at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section, and you'll find information on the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, The Defense Never Rests by Craig Parton.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Pastor Paul McCain, Interim President and CEO of Concordia Publishing House, based here in St. Louis. Paul, what's the current state of publishing, and Christian publishing in particular?
Well, with the economy the way it is, all publishing has been impacted by the downturn. And as I read the trade journals, it's interesting to note that many publishers are trying to identify ways to keep their prices down, even as their costs are increasing. The publishing industry is completely consumer-driven. You just have to walk into any large megastore like Barnes & Noble's, Borders, those types of stores to notice that. The Christian publishing industry faces very unique challenges. It's a large industry. A number of the largest publishers are publicly traded companies like Thomas Nelson. They do millions and millions and millions of dollars a year in business. I just recently read an interesting article in Publishers Weekly, which is kind of the trade Bible for the whole industry. And in the religion section, they point out that Christian publishers are most interested in meeting consumer demands for self-help books of all kinds. They say people would rather go to a bookstore than talk to their pastor, rabbi, or imam, and that's a big challenge.
So how is Concordia Publishing House different in the field of Christian publishing?
Concordia Publishing House exists to serve the publishing needs of our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we believe that as we do, the best job we can possibly do in getting out materials that are faithful to the witness of the Lutheran Reformation, that we're not only serving our church, but also all Christians who find very appealing the message of Martin Luther, the great breakthrough of the gospel in the 16th century. The Lutheran Reformation is the oldest continuing evangelical movement in the history of the church, and it continues to this day, and we're very humbled by the opportunity we have at Concordia Publishing House to be what we believe to be the preeminent voice for the Lutheran Reformation in publishing in the English language. And all our materials strive to be faithful to God's Word and to our Lutheran confessions to get out clearly the gospel of Jesus Christ. We emphasize the teaching of the faith, how important it is to train people, to educate them, to inform them in the basics of Christianity. And all our materials, from Sunday school to academic books, strive to do that.
That's Pastor Paul McCain, Interim President and CEO of Concordia Publishing House, based here in St. Louis. If you'd like a free catalog from Concordia Publishing House, call them at 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or visit them on the web at www.cph.org. www.cph.org. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Christ-centered worship. Dr. Art Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. What is the primary purpose of worship? Is God really present in Christian worship? And is it important that Christian worship not only be biblical, but also historical? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with Dr. Art Just. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the weeks ahead, check out our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to read several articles on the subject of campus ministry, our subject during this hour of the program, including two articles written by our guest in this hour, Pastor Marcus Zill, issuesetc.org. Campus ministry is our subject. Pastor Marcus Zill, pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, and board member for a youth organization called Higher Things, is our guest. Now, I'd like to hear from some of our internet listeners. Call us now at 1-800-730-2727. The next two callers will receive our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. I mentioned it before. It's called The Defense Never Rests. It's a great tool to put into the hands of your college-age son or daughter, grandson, granddaughter. The Defense Never Rests, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Zill, Mike writes this: I go to a church that has a campus ministry, and I was wondering, what can members of the church do to make the students feel more welcome in the new church?
Well, that's a great question. Number one thing that immediately pops in my mind is to think about the things that students may be missing from their families back home. You know, lots of times people will send care packages to college students. Well, that's great, and that has its place. But these young people are missing that kind of family interaction, and I always suggest what better thing to do than to invite a college student over just to have an evening, to have a meal, to just be a part of the family for a little bit. They miss that. That helps in the homesickness department quite a bit.
Let's talk a bit about the social life, which, if I remember my college days, at least probably next to studying, probably surpassing studying, took more time of the day than anything else when I was a college student. We use the term dating, but is it true that these students, for them, dating is largely passe? They go to parties and they hook up? What's going on?
Well, I do think that's the case. It isn't quite traditional dating or courting, if you want to even go farther back. That doesn't really happen quite as much anymore, but it's still in vogue. The young people that are looking for a good, solid spouse for the future realize that that dating is still the best way to go about that. One of the things I always tell them, Todd, is that when you're at college, enough of this tomfoolery about thinking that, well, I can just kind of date this person a few times, and as long as I'm not thinking about getting serious, that I won't, because that's not the way it works. How many times have I not had a young person tell me that, and the next thing I know, I have them in my office talking to them about what they're going to do about the fact that they're in a relationship with a Mormon or someone that is an unbeliever. And we can talk about evangelism all we want, but in terms of dating, evangelism shouldn't be your goal. At least I haven't seen those programs in three-ring binders yet.
Now, you mentioned the students there on campus. Are they thinking in terms of future spouse?
When they first show up, absolutely not. And that's perhaps one of the dangers, especially associated with those who are freshmen and sophomores, is that they're not thinking that way. Usually by the time they're a junior, they're starting to realize that, holy smokes, I'm going to have to get a real job. This isn't a game anymore. I am going to probably get married someday. I need to start taking this seriously. The ones that really get in trouble, I think, tend to be the younger ones because where that whole freedom bug has hit them, they can get in a lot of trouble if they're not real careful.
Let's go back to our email. Another listener writes, if kids today are tired of gimmicks, then why are they still so successful? Has this happened before in the history of Lutheranism in America? What are the things that transcend the parochialism of the present? Should we look to our history for answers? What are the best resources for this?
Well, first of all, I think the history of Lutheranism, especially in America, demonstrates that people are often looking for gimmicks. And I think if anybody, one of your, I think you have Larry Rast on from Fort Wayne quite a bit, he'd be able to demonstrate that better than me. But the gimmicks do work, unfortunately. Just like with anything in this media-soaked culture that we have. But I do think that there is a place for a, we're using a gimmick this fall. One of my students suggested that we should charge people for coming to stuff here since everybody else is offering everything for free. And so we don't offer free pizza. What we're having is a 15-cent course, and so we actually have a deposit and the whole bit. I suppose that's a gimmick, too. But it's cross-cultural because we're kind of being rebellious by saying, we have something that's worth coming to, that we believe that so much that we're not gonna try to sell you on it. We're gonna ask you to come in and pitch in order to be a part.
Doesn't the quote-unquote success of the gimmicks that are often being used to supposedly attract the young people into the church that we've talked about here, doesn't that success depend on how you define success in the church?
Well, sure. What is success? Am I a successful campus pastor because I've got more students, or am I a successful pastor because our young people are really learning and they're growing in their faith? And I would like to think that, I value success in terms of my own campus ministry. If I can have a young person come in here, get involved in the life of the church, grow more in their faith, understanding their own heritage, what it means to be a Christian, their own Lutheran identity, and to grow in their faith and remain connected when they leave. I put a lot of effort not only in trying to visit them before they even come to school, but I also put that same effort in trying to get them connected to another church wherever they leave here to go to.
You've talked quite a bit in this conversation about young people being well catechized, that is, well instructed in the Christian faith, and sometimes I'm sure it's remedial work for you when you get a hold of them as college freshmen. How do you respond to someone who says, look, this age group from, high school through college, they're not interested in theology?
I would respond by saying I don't think you spend much time on campus. I think young people, if you think about it, Todd, they're at this point where they're being exposed to all of this stuff. Maybe they didn't spend that much time thinking too closely about it when they were in confirmation class. But all of a sudden they're realizing, man, I need some more work. I need to learn a lot more about God. And I routinely have young people that are interested in taking our adult instruction class simply because, well, as I often say, I'm kind of a spackler. I'm here to help kind of fill in the holes. But where I want to spackle, they usually want the whole thing. And, you know, some of the classes that I've offered, you know, sometimes campus ministries are tempted to just, you know, offer some very fluffy stuff, kind of this what does this mean to you type Bible studies. Some of my best classes and the things that we've done are things like, you know, how did the Bible come to be? The kinds of stuff, frankly, that you guys do on this program, they are interested in substantive truth. They take classes that I would probably flunk. And so you'd be surprised at how interested they are in learning theology.
Do you find, with those students who are, as you said so many times, remaining connected to Christ through regular hearing of God's word preached, through the administration of the sacraments that the church alone can give, do you find that those students, when they go into the classroom and encounter all of the challenges we've discussed, that they come away shaken? Where on the spectrum do they fall in their reaction to that?
In terms of the ones that are fairly well-grounded?
Yeah.
I think they, in terms of their being well-grounded, I think that is a huge benefit for them, and they're really not shocked by anything anymore, especially the ones that have been learning to grow in their faith and their knowledge and their catechesis while they're at school. If they've been getting involved in the life of the church and growing in their faith, I mean, it's exponential how much confidence that I can see them having in those situations.
And what about when they go back to the dorm and they are back in, you know, outside the confines of the Bible study group or the worshiping community there at St. Andrews, when they're back in the dorm with their roommates, with the party guys across the hall, with the football players down the hall, what about as a Christian witness there?
Well, I think it probably primarily takes place there. The only problem with that is that most dorm life is not made up of anything but freshmen and a few sophomores. And so it's a little bit different climate. Usually what happens is you have your freshman dorm experience and then you get off campus somewhere. And, of course, it's the freshmen that are primarily not perhaps the most well-grounded because they're maybe sowing their wild oats a little bit more because they've just shown up. And so that... But, you know, young people all the time, they have so many opportunities to just simply invite their friends to church, even if they don't know what to say. I tell some of our young people that all the time. Look, if you don't know what to say, invite them to church. Sometimes that's all it takes, and that's what people are looking to hear.
Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. We're talking about campus ministry. Several years ago, I was having a conversation with a dear friend of mine who's a pastor, and he had for some years been serving on the campus of a university as a spiritual life director, something along those lines. One of the things that surprised me was the degree to which these students were coming to him to confess their sins and to hear the clear word of Christ's forgiveness. They were coming to this pastor here on campus, and they were confessing to him what had happened last night or last weekend, and they weren't looking for someone to pat them on the head and say, well, okay, you've made your mistakes, or someone to simply affirm them in the direction they decided to go that night. They were looking for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. When we come back from this break, we'll find out whether or not that, too, is a major component in what we call campus ministry. 1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, or visit our forum and post a question or comment there at issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. The forum awaits you at that link, issuesetc.org, 1-800-730-2727.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism.
You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on why he's a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
By the time I was in high school, I had been driven away from the Christian faith by my Lutheran Church's moralism. After a period of agnosticism, I was brought back to Christ by the persistent arguments of college friends. Then, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I discovered a gospel that was roundly and soundly biblical and able to be defended on objective grounds. I found real Christ-centered sacraments that weren't voided by the depth of my sin or by the false hopes of moralism.
If you want to learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, call our Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172 and ask to receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? The number again is 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
Our guest in this hour, Pastor Marcus Zill, he is a board member for a new youth organization that's called Higher Things. Now, they publish a great magazine for youth called Higher Things as well. I highly recommend that you send a subscription of Higher Things to a high school student that you know, to a college-age student, be that one of your children or your grandchildren. Call our automated resource line. It's 1-800-737-0172. And we will provide you with the mailing address for Higher Things, 1-800-737-0172, or you can check out their website by simply visiting our website, issuesetc.org. The section titled Links with Regular Guests, if you look there and scroll down, you'll find a direct link to Todd Peppercorn and Higher Things. Pastor Zill, do you have college students who come to you and confess their sins, seeking a word from their pastor of forgiveness?
Yes, I do. I wish it happened. Wish it happened more. I mean, not that they sinned more, but that they knew that that was available to them. I regularly make myself available for that on Sunday mornings before church. That's usually not the context in which it happens, though. I'd say. Once every few weeks, I will have somebody that will come to me in that kind of a situation. And the problem is that we have so under-catechized our young people about what that opportunity is, that sometimes you have to start back from scratch and actually teach them about what confession and absolution is. I mean, it's the fifth chief part of the catechism before you can even think about offering that to them. And so that is a bit of a challenge, but it is a model that fits very well with all that we've been talking about in terms of not only their needs, but their needs for authenticity and truth. I mentioned that there was one homosexual young man that came to our church in the first hour of the program, at least for a couple times, to meet with me as a result of the ad that we placed in the student newspaper. One of the first things out of his mouth was he said, "Thank God there's a church that won't tell me that my sin isn't sin. They know it's sin. The law cuts, and what they're looking for is the gospel. And, you know, the making use of private confession and absolution and making that available and teaching it, especially for those of you out in the parishes and you pastors out there, if you teach your people well how to be able to use that, that will serve them greatly while they're at college."
For the sake of our listeners, you said, you know, our students need to be better instructed in this. For the sake of our listeners, very briefly, and for their parents who say, "My goodness, there could actually be a pastor who, if my son or daughter needs to hear the word of forgiveness, can actually provide it for them when they come repenting their sins." What is confession and absolution?
Well, confession and absolution is basically the opportunity to hear the gospel in your ears for you, to hear through the words of a pastor that Christ has forgiven you for what you've done, to have the chance to confess specific sins, those things that are especially troubling you, and to hear through the words of this man that's called and ordained, that is there for you for that purpose. to hear that you are forgiven, you are free. That is absolutely liberating for anyone caught in the throes of sin, but most especially, I think, for someone in a context of the college campus.
These kids are there preparing for their careers, either as they graduate or maybe they'll go someplace else to get some more school after that. Can a good, solid, word-based, Christ-centered campus ministry, can it aid them even as they prepare for their future vocations?
Oh, absolutely. They get a chance to, while they're facing everything there on campus, which includes all these decisions about spouses, the decisions about what do I want to do with my life in terms of a career, as they are fed, well, first of all, many of them decide that they want to go into church work. This day in the divine service, we actually bid farewell and Godspeed to one of our own that's going off to seminary. And so not only do you have the opportunity for them to desire to go into church work, but they're informed by their faith, which will help them to make good decisions. And I don't shy away from spending time helping young people with that. They oftentimes will ask, Pastor Zill, I've been thinking about this, and I get to know them over the couple of years that they're freshman and sophomore, and I know them pretty well and can kind of help steer them in a direction based on what their unique gifts and talents are.
What is the best piece of advice for the parent of a college student from you, a campus pastor?
Make one of your priorities when you and your young person are thinking about what school they might go to, whether or not there's a good solid campus ministry there or a good solid church. Most of the time, it's one of the last things that people think about, and then it's just kind of a crapshoot as to whether or not you have something that will be helpful to you. And obviously, I'm a bit biased because that's the world I live in. But we lose so many people through this black hole that is college, and it doesn't need to happen. And if you have a good, solid campus ministry or a good congregation, make that a priority in terms of picking out a school. That's so far, so often just way far down the list of priorities for folks.
So then what's also the best piece of advice for the college student themselves?
Well, I'll reiterate what I said in the first hour. Don't join anything your first month. Go be patient, go slow. I won't even let a student join our church when they first show up because I want them to just be a student and get used to what's going on, and of course, make the commitment to get up and go to church and to realize that you aren't going to feel comfortable the first time. It's a different church. You have a different pastor. It's a different environment. But realize that you will get to know people. You will feel more comfortable each time that you go, just as that's true with everything else at college.
Why does a college student, a university student, why do they need to be and remain connected to Christ?
Well, Christ is everything. You can gain all the knowledge in the world and have a wonderful career. If you have not Christ, you have nothing. And I think most of them realize that. I think lots of times they think that that's something that they'll just kind of get back into later. And I think for many of them, they just haven't been confronted with the fact that that they're going to bear a cross as a Christian, and it's not going to be easy. Of course, all of those reasons are also what attracts them to our campus ministry so that they can remain connected to Christ. And I'll say this till I'm blue in the face. For many of these young people, it's the first time in their life that they really realize why the church is there and what a pastor is there for. Not just to do things, organizationally and to develop bulletins and all those types of things, but as we talked about a few minutes ago, to bring the forgiveness of sins. And for many of them, those sins are staring them right in the face, and it's a beautiful thing when they can see that they are forgiven in Christ.
Pastor Marcus Zill, thank you for being our guest on Issues Etc.
Well, thank you for having me, Todd. It's always a joy.
Pastor Marcus Zill is pastor of St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming. He's a board member of a youth organization called Higher Things. If you'd like to receive a complimentary copy of our Issues Etc. journal, or if you'd like to make a donation to Issues Etc., remember, Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is entirely listener-supported. So call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Why do we need to keep these college students connected to Christ through campus ministry, through good churches that notice that they're not far away from a college or a university, and that there are students there who need the message of forgiveness? That's what it's really all about, isn't it? College students don't take a break from sin when they go off to university. If anything, the temptations increase, and they're not going to stop after college. To connect them to Christ and keep them connected to Christ, which is to keep them connected to that clear proclamation of the forgiveness of sins, which is theirs in their crucified and risen Savior. That's not only a goal of campus ministry. That is the goal of the church for every believer, that that message of forgiveness might not remain only in the church, but might be in places like the college campus, the university, and you know what? Even the rest of the world and the rest of their lives. It's that important. It is. Jesus Christ and His forgiveness is everything. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue.